up on you.
Howard Summers worth 15 to 20 million.
Shut up! I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host Michael Blihash.
Welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. If you received our email this morning, make sure you email it right now to family and friends and invite them to tune in. And if you live in the area, the tri-state area, go to your telephone and invite others to tune in, because we need to spread the word. Well, joining us today, we have Rich Logis and Mark Andel. And Mark Andel, I want to tell you something, Guy. This is a very, very important couple days coming up for Mark. I was watching your the site on your front page. I saw them putting the new tippy top on your brand new store. And I'm really pleased that you're doing that. I tell everybody to take a look at it. And you can, if you go on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, not only can you listen to today's broadcast and hear our other broadcasts from many weeks past, many months past, you will be able to see Mark's store. Click on Mark's picture. It goes right to his link. You can also link on to American Workers Radio from his site, as well as see the video that he has there. And Mark, it looks like it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful event coming up on Saturday the 21st. I'm really happy for you, boy. It's going to be a great event. And I want to tell people also that when you go on Mark's site, you'll be able to see some of the selections prepared by Ricky Lee. And you'll really be pleased. So take a few minutes, go through the site, and of course, make sure that you support Mark Andel, who has really been an unbelievable part of Change America movement. We've been doing this now for about 15 good years, and we really have to do something to change our country. We've been talking about the Buy American Made campaign. American workers need you. Michael supports America. There's been so many support groups over the years that it's almost driven Henry, our engineer, out of his mind. He really, because we started off some years ago, Mark, with Michael Supports America. That's a long time ago. And you could email me there and go to the commentary, and it went to the Saturday show and all that sort of stuff. And then as time progressed, it wasn't only Michael Supports America. We had to go into the Buy American Made campaign. We also went into things like American Workers Need You. And if you go on the buyamericanmadecampaign.com, it goes right to our internet site. So no matter how you try to reach us, we're able to be there for you. Now, Mark is going to be receiving an award this afternoon, so he won't be with us for the whole show. He's going to the Small Business Administration. They're having a luncheon today, and Mark is the man of the day. You are the man of the year. You are the man of the century. You are going to be the man of many years, Mark. Tell us a little bit about what's happening today.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Hello, Henry and Rich, and I'm not sure if Larkin's with us today. But, Mike, I'm on the thruway. Jackie's driving me downtown here, so she's helping out. Now, a big event, Business First and the Small Business Association give awards today. It's their mixer meeting, and it's kind of neat. Bill Ritter, Larkin's good friend from SCORE, stopped in to see us while we were moving our store last night. I didn't know he was in town, but he's also going to be at the meeting with Frank Sorrentino, who runs the SBA. So it's a big deal. I had joined with that community bank, Lakeshore, and they had called me up, and Jackie happened to know the new banker I work with. So it's kind of going to be a reunion and a nice day down there, and they're going to give us an award for doing what we do, I guess, and you know, being good for the community. So big day, Mike, and like you said, we've got the Made in America store is being moved as we speak. We started to break down the original store we opened 6 years ago Monday, and today we've got them both open, but the old store is coming down quickly and the new store is opening up. And it, like you said, it's a big week. We're 99% done with the construction. We finished over 100 items on our punch list in the last week or so. And the team is coming through, team and family, and we're getting ready for the biggest event we've ever had. We've got 52 vendors signed up, Mike, for our event, and we had to organize it. And I think we're going to – it might be our last event in our town, but we're going to have a lot of fun.
But let me tell you something. It's on a great day, Armed Forces Day. Really a great day that this is all happening because – I mean, I know that you always give discounts to the veterans, and no one is more pro-veteran than Mark Andel. So any veteran listening, I know we have people listening up there in Jamestown, New York, and in Buffalo and Chittawaga. And by the way, Mark, you may have a surprise on that day. I'm not saying I unfortunately can't be there, but you may have a surprise. So you'll get a big kick out of that. But everybody, make sure you check out Mark's site because you'll be able to see a picture of his store. And Mark, if you can get a nice video of the opening ceremony and things like that, it would really be appreciated. We'll post it on our site because people like to see. Everybody is visual these days.
Well, we'll do, and I think we're going to have a drone possibly, too. I'm hearing different things, and as the store gets done, you know, one of my top guys whispered to me, we better get this store open before we have all these events. So just so you know, Mike, this coming Tuesday, which is, I believe, the 17th, we're going to have the tour ops. Mike Dorothy invited 80 tour ops east of the Mississippi. 22 signed up. They're coming to the small town of Elm and East Aurora to kind of see what we've done here. And we're kind of the gateway to help the we sell the area for the travel industry. So that's a big day Tuesday. And then Friday, we got a big Veterans Day before our event. We got a Gold Star mother that lost her son in battle, and we're going to give her a beautiful granite plaque. And that's going to be a huge day. And, you know, our warriors, a lot of people forget about the warriors that fight and die for us. And we're not at the Made in America store. And then Saturday, of course, is our real big event. And then we got the news of our store-in-store we're going to release that for the Made in America store and movement. And all that we do, yourself included, Mike, like you said, 15 years ago, you started believing and pushing the Made in America movement yourself. With Henry's help, though. Without Henry, we all wouldn't be able to do
this. Oh, yeah, Henry is unbelievable. Sometimes I wonder how he puts up with my insanity. And, Mark, I'm going to ask you right now if you would contact the major news stations. Call Fox and Friends. Let's get this highly publicized because you're a biggest part of the movement because you're physical. We are voices, but you are a physical location offering physical items that people can buy, take home, use, wear, give as gifts. So that's the thing I'm going to promote today, that people really go out of their way. And I want you to take a look at the front page of Mark's store. You'll see them putting on that peak and with that huge crane. And I'll tell you, that looked pretty slippery up there.
Yeah.
It looked pretty slippery. I said, whoa.
Yeah, that last part was the cupola. So that was the last piece. You know, we made it at General Welding and Fabricating. That was my good friend Mark Sue got involved and put that on top. And that was a piece. My buddy owns the crane, Mike. It goes 166 foot in the air. He was laughing. It was a smaller piece for him. But I got to say, our community and our customers and friends we've met through the 6 years, our local fire company has our event on their front sign. Restaurants across on different highways by us have, they're putting our posters on and they're talking to my social media guy. So this event's different than them all. We surprised them by staying around. They can't believe we're still moving forward 6 years later. And again, we're up to 7,000 products built by Americans in American factories. And, a lot of respect, and they're thanking. They know it's not about me. It's about this movement and love of our country. And it's something common sense that has to be done. And I know we know that. We see it's a historic year in the political environment, and we've got to change, and we all love America, Mike, right?
You know, Mark, I have to say this before we go say hello to Rich. 30 years ago, there was so much less poverty in America. Now, with less jobs and rising prices, so many people are in poverty, especially our elderly and our young people. I mean, it's really unbelievable. And we got to turn this whole thing around. It started because many people like yourself and all of us just never let the movement die. I received the greatest compliment about all of us the other day from a man who I would say was not very happy with my movement, 7-8 years ago because he does a lot of international business. And of course, he was trying to sway everything to, you know, don't get picky about whether it's foreign made or whatever. Just the other day, I was pleased. He gave me a call and he said, I want to compliment you because your commentaries and your radio programs are very fair. And after a few years of seeing what happened in America, we really have to follow this new path and start looking out for America first. And I said, yes, if you look back 30 years, we had poor people, but not the level of poverty we have today, not the level of people on food stamps, not the level of people, you know, seeking all kinds of government programs instead of being able to support themselves. And he did mention he listens on the radio to the rebroadcast, and he looks at the site, he sends the site. So that pleased me. A man who was against me came and rose up and now is all for our movement. And I want to thank him for letting me know that, because it's important. It makes us all feel good.
Right. Hey, we better give Rich a shot here. He's probably on a second cup of coffee, Mike.
Today's the third cup today, Mark, only because I knew what Sue got in touch with us about your award. And good morning, Michael and Mark, and to our listeners. And just got to say, Mark, again, congratulations, well deserved. You know, Michael, I found myself in relation to our election that's coming up, and we're talking about the economy and business. And again, our listeners shouldn't construe this as necessarily support for one person over another. But the question that I've been asking people rhetorically is, you know, when you talk about the economy, and in Mark's case, you're talking about me in America. Do you want to follow somebody? And I don't mean follow meaning you're a sheep. I'm talking about looking to someone for inspiration and then doing your own thing. You want to look and follow somebody who's done it, or somebody who just talks about it and don't ever do it? You're gonna look at someone who's done it, or someone who just talks a good game but ain't ever done it. And Mark's doing it. See, that's the thing, Mark. You're actually doing it.
That's right. And you know
what you bring to the table, first and foremost, what you bring to the table is credibility. More than I'm Mark and I'm right for doing Made in America and you're wrong for no. It's not about that. What it's about is you bring credibility to the table. And that's the thing, Mark. You're doing it.
That's right. And you know, guys, not only did American workers suffer as a result of poor leaders for the last 30 years and a lot of greed, but America's youth, our senior citizens, future generations, we the people really have to stand up to help restore America's economy. It's not going to be done by the leaders unless there's a major change in leadership. There was something that said on this broadcast maybe 2 weeks ago, which I really got a lot of good comments about, and that is, how many of the people in Congress and in many of our elected offices all over the USA have really ever met a payroll? How many of them know what it is to pay a bill? Many of them got into politics early in life, or they worked for a politician. They never had a payroll. They never had to pay benefits. They never had to pay matching taxes, which most employees don't even realize that the employers have to pay.
You know, Mike, it's funny you bring that up, because just before, I jumped in the car, and Jackie's nice enough to drive here, I was signing payroll, you know, and I personally signed my payroll, 69 employees, and I see what's going on. So that payroll's everything. It's all about the livelihood and the payroll. And I think people are knowing now the Made in America story is not about me, not about us. We've got a great family and team that built this, but it's about what we stand for, and it's about supporting that person that works. Everybody in the new store took pride in their workmanship, if it was the ironworker, the sheet metal, the framers with the wood. Every subcontractor, the guy laying the sod at the end, my guy running the crane, took pride in, because they work for a living. And I told them they all get 10%, anybody that helped on a store, because we support people, the doers of the world. You know, I always said leaders, followers, doers, and users. But the doers are what we want. And, Mike, this economy is probably the toughest economy I've seen in 30 years, and it's going to have to pop out. They're not going to be able to hide it forever. It's very, very tough times. The lack of skilled trades, the lack of work, the lack of jobs. the vendors that are going to show up and the people that are supporting us for this event is testimony to people kind of get it. They know this really needs to be done now. We really need to build products, like we say, 50-50 fair trade. We need to produce more than we could consume. And they're realizing, they're all waking up.
And you know, Mark, you're right. If 40 years ago, we produced double what we consumed and we shipped it around the world. Right now, the long recession and Americans being out of jobs for such long period of times, and now we're hearing more and more about the young people in debt for their college education, and also people watching the fact that other countries are experiencing job increases while we've been losing jobs in America, has really taught us a very painful lesson. And I think elected leaders in this election cycle are going to have to address it. It's no longer going to be after the inauguration, I just go into the White House and I vanish for a couple years. That party is over. Americans want leadership. They'll be knocking on the door. And now with the way communications are, whether it's Facebook or any of the cable channels, we want answers. We want America restored to where it should be. And by the way, also, Mark, you're a perfect example. All these trade agreements that we've been putting up with, even the TPP, is another thing that has to be looked at. And they should put that on ice until a new president is elected. And a new president then can discuss it with the people and maybe even put it on a referendum for the American people to vote with.
You know, next week, Mike, Bob Chesbro, the president of Wigwam Sox, honored me by saying, hey, I'm flying in. I'll be the speaker at your event for the Veterans Friday. I've got to leave Saturday. But, you know, this guy, Bob's a third generation, 300 employees, Sheboygan, Wisconsin. They're still making textile, I mean, the socks, and the best sock in the country. But he knows what these trade agreements. He lobbied in Washington. He doesn't know where I came from. But Bob, to fly up and be at our event is awesome. You know, we just need to do more and more of this. We just got to make people aware. We need the right guy in that office or woman. We need the leader that believes, like Trump says, you got to tax these imports coming in. You've got to grow this country, Mike. It needs to be done now. We can't wait another 8 years.
There is another very good thing that's happened during this election. We are finding out for the first time that products are coming from overseas to America with no tariffs, no taxes. Yet our products go to their countries. They get 12, 14, 18% tax. Does that make any kind of sense?
That's not fair trade, right?
That's really fair. I mean, they want what they're doing on their end of the bargain is they're trying to make American-made products too expensive for their people to buy, whether it's tractors or whatever. So they keep that going to these Japanese companies or whatever, so that American products are slowly taken off the world shelves.
And, Mike, we're reaching out to World News. Eric Knoll, we've been in contact with. We're trying to get David Muir. We got Fox and friends. We're reaching out. Next to them all, we got press release after press release. And, you know, Eric Knoll did respond. We're hoping to get David Muir. AP, Associated Press, Carolyn Thompson's been great to us. So this is a big week. We don't know what we're going to get. We know we're going to open up a great store. We know we're going to thank the community. We know we're three times the size, and we built a place that can bring travelers from around the world in. So we're really excited about that. We didn't realize a lot of people don't have a bus entrance. We didn't realize a lot of people don't have six ladies' rooms facilities. So we're really getting a lot of attention here in Buffalo for being that, you know, travel destination. So we hope people come from all around the world.
Well, Mark, with your welding operation, you certainly have shown us that you can do something if you stick to it. Focus and consistency made you a success. Your business on the welding is secure. Your business on the Made in America store is secure. Now the thing is to get more people to follow your example. You know, guys, we already have such an abundance of sales and service-oriented jobs here in the country. We really need to restore that 50-50 balance. And some people used to say, oh, 50-50, I mean, that's a lot. I said, no, it used to be 90% of everything sold in America was made in America. Now it's about 15 and 20%, some cases much less. So we have made a difference. And with your help, Mark, it's really been a great bullseye that we've been able to reach onto. And this, an event like your opening of your store, perfect opportunity. The world should be watching. The USA should be watching. Your example, hopefully that you'll be able to move into other areas. As you've been saying, you have now products available. This is another thing we'll have to address in future weeks. What kind of products do you have to available for other stores in other states to sell?
Yeah, you know, Mike, the wholesale side is going to be huge, and that's where we're hoping we verify the product, we vet it, and then we can help people, because the number one complaint is we can't find Made in America products. So we want to make buying American easy, even if it's a business-to-business wholesale or just for the retailer. And, you know, don't forget, we lead with quality, and a Made in America product generally is a better product. And it feels good for our listeners to go out, you buy something made in America, you ask the question, do you have Made in America products? There's nothing wrong with it, and that's what's neat. You want to expose it wherever you can. Like I said, you don't got to go to my website. Whatever store you go into, ask for it and ask why you don't have it.
That's right.
Because we want to help people get it.
That's right. You know, guys, I have to tell you this, and our listeners who stop me are very important that I hear from them. At this point, people are really feeling the aftermath of the loss of tens of thousands, I mean tens of thousands of private sector businesses that left this country over the last 25 years. And with them went tens of millions, tens of thousands of businesses left, but tens of millions of job opportunities were totally lost, and we have to reverse that.
Well, Michael, if I can add a point with what Mark said here and something you mentioned earlier before, what I think is now very clear is that we have an energized and impassioned electorate that has gotten excited over putting the United States first and everyone else next. Not to say that we still should not. We have allies, and we should, as I've said last week, the world, yes, is potentially still a better place with a strong U.S. strength through peace. But throughout the last many, many years, you know, the United States, we get kicked around because of the oil, because we bring oil in. We get kicked around because of cheap goods that we bring in. We get kicked around because we got to borrow money. And people have said, we're not exactly sure how to start fixing that, but enough is enough. And that's what exactly it is that you're seeing. It's actually so simple, but yet you could still teach a whole college course about it, but no safe spaces allowed. It's time to, when you're in college, it's time that you grow up by that point. So we're asking the electorate, those who are getting behind, and Made in America, Michael, is directly in line with American sovereignty and respecting our sovereignty as a nation, which after only 240 years, which is a blip in world history, because you've got the world's been around for millions, and the earth will still be here after we've all left. It will do fine, even with plastic and styrofoam in it. The earth will do just fine. But as it is now, Michael, in just those couple hundred years, we've gotten these things better than anywhere else. But we're still now at a moment, and this moment where we're at right now is, are we going to preserve and honor our autonomy and our sovereignty, or are we going to give the whole damn thing away? And that's what is going through the minds of the electorate right now. That's what's happening right now. It's actually that simple.
You know, you're right. And a lot of what happened to us, Rich, and you know it better than anybody, has been done in the name of political correctness. We tried to kiss up to everybody else. And then they tell me, oh, Michael, we live in a free market economy. That's true. Let's have a free market economy in the United States so our businesses can thrive. That all being said, people now in America are standing up and putting their best foot forward and saying we have to take care of ourselves and our fellow Americans. I haven't heard those kinds of things for a long, long time, but I've
been
hearing
it. Michael, can I just say a point about that? Excuse me. We've heard it. The problem is the people saying it have no credibility. They have virtually no credibility. Some have a little bit. Some have a little. Look at Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney, very wealthy guy, very successful guy. But why was he rejected by so many voters? Because he was a little embarrassed by his wealth. Remember when he had that press conference where he brought a bunch of business owners on stage, and there was this tit for tat that he and Obama had going back and forth with the whole you didn't build that and Mitt Romney, right? He had no answer to it. He brought a bunch of business owners up, which that was great, but where were the workers, right? Where were the actual workers of those companies? And he just couldn't escape his out of touchness. And there's this now lingering question of, we look at the candidates basically remaining, and we talk about who's in touch and who's out of touch. Look, Michael, I'm not going to sit here and speak for other voters, but what I am going to say is that other people have said it. But I do think it's a credibility issue. And those who have said it and said it, they just talk about it, right? Where's the doing? And that's where I think the voters right now, there is this awakening. I keep calling it this awakening. And as part of the awakening, people are rejecting what they see in the mainstream media, which I check out the mainstream media, Michael, from time to time. And I just have to say, it's insufferable. I mean, and yet the ratings are down, but they're still high, but they're down. It's just, I can't imagine anyone watching this stuff regularly and being informed. As a matter of fact, some of the most misinformed people I know are mainstream media junkies. They are. No, but that's just the fact.
That's the truth. I agree.
They're some of the most uninformed people, okay, especially the young idiots. They're mainstream media junkies. So this is the moment. The day of reckoning is here right now. And the conversation that's going to be had in the next several months, there's going to be some beautiful, wonderful moments. There's going to be some very ugly moments. I don't like the divide, but the fact is it's here. And I've said it before, Michael, and I'm going to say it again. There's two primary reasons for the divide that we're in now. The last time this country was this divided was at least the Vietnam era, and maybe you got to go all the way back to the Civil War. The first and foremost reason, you said political correctness. Let me tell you something about political correctness, which is fostered by the progressive left in this country. Political correctness, in the words of the great George Carlin, is fascism.
Right. They wanted people, political correctness has tried to silence the people, make them look like they are doing something wrong, which is
but
crap.
But people have had it. But, Michael,
they've had it now.
They've had it. Enough is enough. People are tired.
Empty wallets are doing this.
Labeled. Well, that's it. They're tired. They're now tired of the labels. They're tired of all the disparaging, disgusting labels. And the second reason after the fascist progressive left is actually very simple. There's a so-called opposition party that's been around for a while called the Republican Party. And I say so-called because the Republican voters I know, for the most part, only vote Republican just because they can't stand the fact of having a Democrat in office, not because they love the Republicans. The funny thing about it all is when you watch basically the mainstream media and they talk about how, oh, look at how much in disarray the Republican Party is. The fact of the matter is, Michael, most people I know, even Republican voters, are actually reveling right now in that, because now the party might actually, through the will of the voters, be forced to be somewhat of an opposition party. So, they're a little scared right now also.
Yeah, and I say
both the parties, running a little bit scared right now.
Yes, Mark.
You know, I want to bring up one thing with just with my sort of political correctness and whatnot. So the Made in America store has a front entrance. It has this bus entrance. And we're talking about the signs and what we're hanging. And we got the space shuttle going up. We got Mount Rushmore. And, you know, all different things going on. But I came in with the Constitution today. So I'm putting this huge Constitution on the bus wall. So when the people come in off the buses, they're gonna see the physical Constitution with an eagle flying through every word for word. And then they're going to see In God We Trust. And then in my outdoors room, you know, we've got our FFL license, whatnot. They're going to see the Second Amendment. But that's what we stand for. We're America, right? And I just think it's, you know, that's what we are. I eat steak. You know, we shoot some guns. We're American, and I think we're very, very proud of it. And we've got to stay on that path. It is America. And what you're talking about, they've got to, you know, we want our country the way we want our country, right?
And you know, you're
gonna,
right, Mark. And people are seeing.
Oh,
yeah, we got you because you got to get to that luncheon, guy. But you know, before you go, Mark, because of people like you, because of our listeners, because of Larkin, Rich, Henry, and everybody that's working in all these smaller outlets, we become a bigger voice. We become a little bit of an example. And now people want to see industries thriving in America again so they can get back to work. They're sitting around wondering, how is this all going to be resolved? I think it's going to be resolved this year. We're going to start the first steps on a 1,000-mile journey to a change America and bring industries and bring jobs back to this country.
Absolutely. Well, guys, I've got to bow out. Have a great show. Rick, I owe you a call, and have a great day, guys.
Congratulations,
Mark, on your small business award, and thank you for all that you do, and I'll be in touch soon.
Okay, thanks to the listeners, too, and bye, American.
Okay, thank you, guy.
Nazdrovia.
Oh, he's going to get Nazdrovia. He's going to get Nazdrovia on his opening over there.
And with that said, I'm going to pour my morning vodka right now. No, I'm only kidding. I don't know. I'm only joking. I gave that up.
Before we go to before we do another thing, I have to stop and acknowledge some of our faithful supporters. And by the way, some of them are very pleased with what we're doing, and they love the idea of the National Small Business Weekend because people are coming out, they're talking, everybody is more friendly. The people are going into the stores, you know, hey, I'm supporting you. I hear about how important it is to support local businesses. This is what we want to hear, not this slinging mud at each other and we're tired of it. But I'd like to acknowledge people who support our broadcast 7 days a week here on 860 AM, and they include Leon Munkowski, attorney at law, located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, and Mr. Chester Shanovsky, who is the proprietor of Serena's Auto Body Shop, and he has two locations to serve you. One is at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. The other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. And also, don't forget that the Net Cost Market has two locations in Philadelphia. Make sure you check out Net Cost Market when you're up there in the Northeast on Welsh Road or on Busselton Avenue. And also, best wishes as well from Mr. Joseph Drovot, who is the national president of the PRCUA, and Michael Steinman, attorney at law, with two offices to serve you, one in Northeast Philadelphia, the other in Center City. Also, best wishes for a great holiday season coming up, and also best wishes from Dr. Eva Machak. She reminds you to have a great smile. She has two dental offices to serve you. One is at 3084 Armingo Avenue. The other is at 4250 Richmond Street in Philadelphia. Also, when you are in the Port Richmond section, remember, Polka Deli is located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue. And if you are planning to do some travel, remember, the Polish American Travel Service is right across the street from Polka Deli at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue. And Washington Savings Bank and their great president, Mr. Martin Bednarek, reminds you that they have five locations to handle all of your banking needs. For more information, call the Washington Savings Bank at 215-698-9400. Also, Yolanda Konopatska DeCipio, attorney at law, represents clients in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. For more information, give her a call at 215-423-4824. And also, Mr. Frank Spulla, another great supporter of the Buy American Made campaign. He is also the president of the Polish National Alliance, known as the PNA, with representatives in all 50 states. For more information, you can call the PNA main office at 1-800-621-3723. And ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to support Mark Andel. He is unbelievable. You can check out his store at madeinamericastore.com. Also, best wishes to all from the Polish and Slavic Federal Credit Union. As you know, they have local offices, but now you can bank online simply by going to psfcu.com. Also, best wishes from the Sugar House Casino, located at 1001 North Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia. From all of them and all of us at American Workers Radio, best wishes. Thank you for all that you are doing to go out of your way to look for, ask for, and purchase the American-made items that you need. And when you go to the stores, ask for the manager and say, why don't you have a greater selection of American-made products? If they do have a growing selection, make sure you compliment them. Well, Rich, I want to get back to you because this election season has me sitting in amazement, because there is one thing that has been on the minds of everyone, and that is jobs in America. And that's what our entire Made in America campaign, our American Workers Need You campaign, has been all about. And it's because lots of little voices have become a big voice now and have influenced tens and tens of millions of people who are getting out of the rut of just sitting back wondering what is going to happen and taking action by going out to vote, register to vote. I'll be pushing the registration campaign in another few weeks. I have to wait till all the primaries are done, and then I'm going to plead with everyone that has not registered to vote to be sure to register, because we want to have every possible person come out and give their opinion on election day in November. Yes, Richard.
Well, Michael, you know, this still remains to be seen, but if the turnout up to this point is an indicator throughout all of the states, you know, there were two primaries last night, which now I don't want to suggest are an afterthought, because that diminishes the importance of those who cast votes in West Virginia and Nebraska, but there are still, what, a dozen or so states coming up, and I'm going to echo your sentiment that regardless of presumptive nominee or not, people have to get out, and they need to get registered to vote, because it shows you. See, now we're seeing the living proof, and those who perhaps had an attitude of, well, you know, I'm going to stay home, what difference does it make, it doesn't matter. I'm sympathetic, Michael, to that argument. I have been sympathetic to it. I haven't agreed with staying home, but there are a lot of those people who just something clicked for them. In literature, James Joyce referred to it as the epiphany, the novelist, and there was this epiphany that people had of realizing that actually staying home does influence the outcome, and there's just something about now this feeling that's come over a lot of people, like, well, it seems like so many people are doing it, so maybe I should do it also, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Again, it's not to suggest that people should be followers and sheeple, but there is something really unprecedented about the unifying, about how many people have come out, because I don't like the whole label thing, and I don't like grouping people. I identify myself all the time as a political independent. But having said that, I still think there are two blocks of voters in the United States. Potential voters, people come out, and people maybe haven't come out, and now they are. You've got the first block, which is you know, this is the group that basically labels itself the progressive left, right, or concerned citizen, or some other innocuous, deceitful term that's used. So you got that block of voters. They basically come out to vote no matter what. And of course they got all the young, you know, not all, but they got a lot of the young idiots in that group. So you got that first group, very influential, very well funded, very organized. But then you've got a whole swath of other people, Michael. And that second group, this is actually an interesting group because this group is actually truly diverse, where you've got independents and libertarians and conservatives and, let's say, maybe Republicans and Democrats down the middle. Maybe you've got some Democrats a little bit left of center, maybe some Republicans a little bit right of center. But all of those people you're finding are uniting this election season. And interestingly, just like I have said before, if I put my political analyst hat on here for a moment, for the last many, many, many months, it's been obvious, and don't think the Republican Party didn't know this either, Michael, it's been obvious that there's only been one candidate who could get turnout plus crossover. It wasn't Jeb Bush. It wasn't Ted Cruz. Wasn't Kasich. It's now the front runner of the party. So those who wanted some evidence of whether coming out to vote is worth it, I think the evidence is very clear, Michael, in my opinion.
You're right, Rich, and I think that people now have come to the understanding that it's now or never. We've never been to this place in an election process ever. And if we don't take action now, we have no one else to blame but ourselves. Do you agree with that?
Well, what have we said, Michael, for years on this show? I mean, this October will be my fourth year on this show, 4 years of me tainting and adulterating American Workers Radio. So I take a little bit of pride in that. So, you know, coming on and just being that way. But what?
I have to tell you, a lot of people say they love this guy.
Well, thank you to those listeners, and thank you to all of our listeners, even if the ones who maybe don't always love me or love us or what we say collectively. We appreciate, nonetheless, everybody tuning in. And the thing, Michael, that what have we banged the drum about here? We've banged the drum about it's always about people taking responsibility for things as a consumer, as a voter, as an American, as part of the electorate. We have to have this attitude that no one is going to do it for us. And unfortunately, the political class in the United States, and this is not just the Democrats, it's both parties, there has been this decades-long nurturing and cultivating of this dependency mindset. And it has trickled down into the way that we view our elections and the way that we have come to sort of view the government. And I do think that mindset, the nanny state mindset, which we're now seeing in all of its various iterations on colleges with safe spaces, the way that, for example, some of the Democrats have flat out lied about what's happened in a place like Flint, Michigan, with the lead in the water. And if you take a step back, what I think the Democrats are really most afraid of with Trump, Michael, it's not the wall. All the Democratic elitists all live behind gated communities anyway. It's not the thing that Trump has said about a temporary halt on Muslims. The elitists send their kids to private schools, which has an actual test to determine who gets in or not. You think they're afraid of that stuff? They don't care about that stuff. What they're really afraid about is the fact that this guy, this person, who's been able to get $2 billion in media coverage, and don't think the media, Michael, isn't salivating over the possibility of a President Trump. The ratings for the mainstream media have never been higher. They've never been higher. When the debates were going on and you looked at the ratings for the week, it was like The Big Bang Theory, which was the number one show, Republican debate. I mean, it was just unbelievable that it was always like one of the highest rated shows for that week. Why? Because the people tuning in, oh, Trump's a celebrity. Trump's got a personality. Funny to hear that from the party of Hollywood, isn't it? Isn't that a little ironic to hear that? That's not what they're afraid of, Michael. What they're afraid of is the fact that somebody who's got the forced personality with 2 billion in media coverage has an actual legitimate chance of getting crossover vote from groups that have consistently been Democrat voters.
Now, that's I understand, Rich. I'm understanding this, that there will be a special show this week where Trump and Megyn Kelly sit down for a special interview, for a one-hour interview. Have you heard about that one? It's supposed to be one day this week coming up. So I will be looking forward to that because it's going to be interesting, because everybody was saying, oh, they're fighting, they'll never get together and all. And here they are going to be doing a show together. See, Trump's the kind of guy who doesn't mind telling you what's on his mind, you know, at the moment. And the way this all went out with this Megyn Kelly and the first debate and all, she wants peace, he wants peace. And I can see why a good interview would do them a lot of good and not any type of harm. Did you know about that interview coming up?
I'm aware of it, and, you know, I'm not... While I don't want to go on a media rant here, Michael, I've not always been, shall I say, the biggest fan of Fox News, but Fox News is the one mainstream media outlet that is consistently not liberal progressive news. So those who don't want that kind of news tend to just flock to Fox News, hence its high ratings. But don't let anyone, Michael, try to spin that the media is conservative. The highest rated network is CNN. A lot of people don't know that. CNN just overtook Fox as the highest rated network. And Fox's ratings stem from the fact that it's been the one mainstream media outlet that people who don't like the MSNBCs and the ABCs and those stations can go and watch. So even for me, those I know who watch Fox News consistently are not cheerleaders and super fans of the network, just like the Republican voters I know, Michael, are not cheerleaders of the Republican Party. So we have an opportunity, and the Republican Party has an opportunity to bring in millions of new voters, not just for this election, though, but for future elections. So the question is that we're all going to sit here and watch, and we're going to ask, how's the Republican Party going to handle this? Are they cognizant of the fact that there's an opportunity in front of them to bring in many, many, many people who have stayed home, many people who have been, let's say, independents? Maybe they'll remain independents, but maybe they'll lean toward Republican. We're at a point right now where the shakeup that can happen can really be a good thing for the country, Mike.
And, you know, this is the first time I would say I've seen a real big choice in the two candidates that are expected to be the front runners. Each one of them is going to lay it out on the table, nothing held back. And that's what the American people want to see, because everywhere I go and every little presentation that I make, I tell people, I can't see any reason whatsoever why American industries can't produce the quality and cost-effective products that America consumed for years, as well as make enough to export around the world and put our products on store shelves all over the world as well. We've been housing their stock in our stores for the last 25 years. Time to get more of our little items in between, not only those big tractors and all that they're buying from us, but a lot of the smaller stuff. Let's start to share. Let's show people what we make and make their stuff available at the same time. A 50-50 balance is not an unreasonable balance in the new world economy. It's really not.
Well, the key thing you said, Michael, is world, right? It is a global economy. We're going to continue to have relationships with other countries. Companies that are U.S.-based are going to find certain markets internationally where they can thrive and do well. I don't think a lot of people, I don't mean to speak for people, but I don't think a lot of people really disagree with that logic and principle, but it's when the balance starts to shift out of our favor, and I would argue it's been shifting out of our favor for a really long time. Look at the fact that NAFTA, a 20-year-old trade deal, passed by Congress, signed into law by President Clinton. You can go back now, just go on YouTube, Michael. Our listeners can go back now and listen to Al Gore flat out lie about NAFTA. Just flat out lied about it.
Yep, I agree.
It wasn't that there was a projection made and it was wrong. Projections can be made and they're wrong. That's true.
Rich,
no one has a crystal ball. You can go back and listen to Al Gore, who flat out lied about NAFTA. And now you look at the fact that NAFTA's 20-year-old trade deal is being talked about probably as much now as it was back in the 90s.
Here's one of the things that most people will agree with, and that is whenever you make any type of a trade deal, you really have to have a point of negotiation within a 2-year or 3-year period so that not one side benefits more than the other in any kind of an agreement. Right now, most of those agreements, 80% of the benefit is really on the foreign countries, not on American workers.
Well, it's a very attractive, Michael, it's a very attractive thing. And again, we have to, whether we want to acknowledge this or not, companies are in business to make money. Is there an ugly side to free market, like Larkin's pointed out? Yes, there is. Is there a bloodthirsty side to it? There is. Okay, there is. And that's the thing about a trade deal like NAFTA, which is that what it did is it basically just eroded a little bit our sovereignty. You can go listen to Al Gore I think it was on the interview with Larry King when Ross Perot was there, talking about how mutually wonderful it would be for America and Mexico. I mean, look at that now, Michael. Who in their right mind is going to look at that statement now and say, oh, wow, came true? And now we've got, I think Larkin said this on air, if I remember him saying, he might be coming around a little bit to the TPP, the new trade deal. Well, the new trade deal is basically formed. It's like 80 million pages. It's put together. And, of course, the ones in favor of it, which is not just Obama, there's a lot of Republicans in Congress, saying, oh, trust us, it's a good thing.
But, Rich, I don't know much about the trade deal, but I will say this. When I look at the list of countries that are involved, many of them are countries that allow children as laborers and all. And that concerns me. I mean, because we've already had situations that where we're bringing a lot of products into this country that are done almost with slave labor by children. And that is not something we want to do. We want to slip in those items just because we made this trade agreement. None of this has been properly vetted, as far as I'm concerned. And I think that a trade deal that really reflects something this big on our country should be a referendum by the people. The people go out and vote, yes, we want this trade deal, after we vetted it for 6 months or a year, not just have these gentlemen and ladies in Washington handle the trade deal agreement, and the general public in America really knows very little about it.
Well, it's shown, Michael, on the ugly side, the unholy alliance with the trade deals, right, between this entanglement with government and lobbyists and donors in big business. Okay, big business employs a lot of people in the United States. I don't take, nor do I like, the approach of the demonization of big business. Yes, the majority of people are employed at what's called small businesses, and we have to get that number up. But there are mutually beneficial opportunities between small business and big business. I know in my company, I've done business with those really, really big companies, some of them. So there are mutual opportunities to be had and to be realized. But it's that term that we've heard a lot in this election, that crony capitalism. That's the ugly side of it. And now we're sitting on another trade deal that just further erodes our economic sovereignty and starts handing off and chipping it away in a little bit away. And Mark's asked before on the show, he's asked, what would we all do if we were in that position? I mean, Michael, for me, actually, my number one thing is actually real simple. I'd start going after the $2 trillion overseas. I'm going after that money. Because we're not ever seeing that money. So that's the thing I try to explain to people about the fact that in any economic system, gazillionaires always win. Find me an economic system, Michael. Communism? Do the gazillionaires win there? Socialism? Theocracy? They win no matter what. So forget this fight, this battle, because even if you got the $2 trillion, it would tank our stock market and our economy. We ain't ever seeing that money. So do they owe it to us? Do the companies owe it? Yeah, because it's deferred tax. It's technically owed to the Treasury.
But, Rich, here's something.
We're not seeing it.
Here's something that's very interesting, which I find everywhere I go. There's no exception to this rule. 20 years ago, people had jobs. They were able to provide for their families, do some vacationing and stuff like that. Right now, you could have stuff in the stores 50, 60, 70, 80% off, and the people can't afford it because they have no job to pay for it. Their credit cards are up to the max. The wallet is empty. So the big businesses that left America thinking that they're going to make it big time forever and ever, it's not happening anymore. It's starting to come back to haunt them. I know myself, I used to do different things, but right now I'm helping a number of people, and I want to make sure that those people are safe and sound first before I go out of my way to enjoy and splurge and vacation and stuff like that. This is what's happening with most Americans. They used to go out on these special dinners all the time and things like that. They're doing it now to take care of family, pay bills. They're overly, overly flooded with bills. And that's what's killing America. That's what's bringing the people out for the election. They see there's an opportunity to make a change, and they want that change to happen, because without it happening now, it's going to go on for years and years and years. And Rich, you hear the music. I want to take this opportunity to once again extend congratulations to Mark Andel, who's getting a Small Business Award today in the Buffalo area. And also, I know that he has a great link on the front page of our internet site. Check it out. His new store is going to be opening up, his brand new store in Elma, New York. That's going to be on Saturday, May the 21st. We'll keep you posted again next week. Rich, I want to thank you for all of your good words of wisdom today. I want to thank our listeners for going out of their way to ask for and speak up where they shop and put their dollars where they can on items that are made in America. And I'm going to ask everybody to please make sure you let others know that they can look at our front page and get a lot of information on the internet by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and also that they can listen to our rebroadcasts anytime by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Final remarks, Richard.
Guys, everyone, and congrats again to Mark. Thank you to our listeners. And if you're in a state coming up with a primary, get registered and come out to vote.
Guys, my best wishes. Thank you. Until this Saturday at 11, my very best. And until next Wednesday, also the very best. We'll look forward to seeing you in my travels. And when you see me, make sure you let me know that you tune into the broadcast. Thank you.